Ah, yes. The sound of old records being put away into the closet. Mac, we'll be back in another 2 weeks with the old antique phonograph program. Next week will be Jerry and Edison's Footlocker program will be on. The Scratchy Record, however, will not be hosting JM in the AM this week due to prior commitments. That was a scheduled event people were looking forward to, but unfortunately will not be happening. Why is that, Scratchy Record? I don't tolerate that kind of talk on my program. You go away and listen to this record by Witch. Oh, hey, I didn't realize you were here. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the best show on WFMU. Thought I was kind of alone here in the studio singing along to the song Exploder by Trans Am. They play on an endless loop. Ha ha ha. Oh, fun. I can't fool you guys. Or can I? So anyway. What I was saying was that this is the best show on WFMU here each and every Tuesday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WFMU. You can check out the show over at WFMU.org, but the place to really go is friendsoftom.com. That's the headquarters for the program. That's the headquarters. You want to find out, you go to the headquarters, friendsoftom.com. We just heard from the general, Ted Leo. Ted Leo and the pharmacist. Live version of Under the Hedge. Taken from a fantastic collection. It's the Cherry Blossom Clinic's Live Sessions, Volume 2. This was a premium you could have gotten if you pledged during the 2005 FMU Marathon, but you know what? You can't get it now. Look how hot this collection is, everybody. Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, The Dirt Bombs, Blues Explosion, Reckless Eric, Cohen the Knockouts, Cheater Slicks, The Toakleys, Mike Watt, The Raining Sound, The Little Killers. Good heavens. If you missed out on this collection, buddy, you missed out on a lot. You missed out on a lot. You missed out on a lot. That's why I got to pledge during the FMU Marathon, people. Good stuff. Good stuff. You didn't believe me. You know what's also good stuff is this hot cut we heard from John Fahey. From the best of John Fahey, 1959 to 1977, we heard The Last Steam Engine Train. Now, normally, I only play the... if I'm going to play a song with a title similar to that, I would play the Kinks song from the Kinks Village Green album, Last of the Steam-Powered Trains song I'd play. but we played the John Fahey. We played before that Sebado 3 from Sebado 3. The Freed Pig. One of the... Oh, no, don't. Out of order. Sorry, folks. We played Love Child, Willpower from their album OK on the Homestead label. Rebecca Ode singing that one. Alan Licht rocking the guitar on that one. Will Baum playing the drums on that one. That's heavy duty, guys. Before that, Sebado. Sebado 3, the name of the album. We heard Freed Pig. Awesome. Classic. Also on the Homestead label. A little two for Tuesday there for Homestead Records. So pour some out for Homestead Records if you're hanging out at your house. Get your Nice Strong Arm records out. Pour a little bit out for Nice Strong Arm. Phantom Tollbooth. Live Skull. Those that have come before. And those who will carry on, such as Jay Maskus, who is the drummer in the band Witch, whose album, which is self-titled, is out and in stores. It's on the TP label. The name of that song was Seer. ...201-209-9368 is the number. 201-209-9368. That is the only number to call to reach the best show on WFMU. It is an exclusive number for this program and this program only. If you hear of any other shows on the station giving out that number, call them. Get on the air and tell them this number doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the best show. That's what you do. If you hear that number being given out by any other program, you say, what are you doing using Tom's private number? He pays $50 a week out of pocket to use that number. That's what I say. You call them. You let them know. Exciting show planned for you tonight. Exciting show. The theme song contest in full effect. We're coming down the home stretch on the theme song contest. How about this? Let me set a date tonight where we end the theme song contest. We'll end at the first show in May. First show in May theme song contest ends. Does that sound about right, Mike? There we go. Gives people a chance to get those songs ready if they're still working on them. First show in May, we end it. That will be the theme song spectacular where we review the theme songs and we announce the winner. First show in May. Don't know what day that is on a calendar. But that is the show that we will end the theme song contest. Going to have Jeff Fierzig, director of The Devil and Daniel Johnson, calling up tonight. That's right. This is not a replay. It's not a rerun. It's not a best of. It's live. He's calling a second time. Apparently, he's got something else he wants to say, and we're going to give him the floor, so to speak, to say it. His movie is killing over at the Sunshine in New York. Oh, another thing I wanted to talk about tonight. Another thing. Everybody knows what MySpace is, right? Everybody knows what MySpace is? Yes? MySpace? You've all seen it or heard of it? About a month and a half ago or so, we did a show where I was appointing my 700th MySpace. I was at 699, and I appointed my 700th person on the air from a sea of listeners. Well, if you look at my, go over to my MySpace page now, which is myspace.com/Sharpling, S-C-H-A-R-P-L-I-N-G. You'll notice the kid's riding high at 999 right now. He's got 999 sitting there. Who will be my 1,000th MySpace friend? Who will it be? I want to pick somebody deserving, somebody cool. So if you are that person, if you are not yet a MySpace friend, (201) 209-9368. Who will be my 1,000th MySpace friend? We will announce it at the end of the show tonight. I will pick someone who will be my 1,000th MySpace friend. It's very exciting, isn't it? Won't that... I know some of you can't handle the suspense. I can't even handle the suspense. How are we all going to make it through tonight's show? But you know what? We'll do it. And we'll have fun doing it. It'll be exciting. So we got the 1,000th MySpace person to be announced at the end of the show, to be selected and announced at the end of the show. What other things we have to talk about? I'm going to put together my podcast army. That's the other thing. The best show you can get on a podcast. Go to friendsoftom.com. Find all about the podcast. Shows up on your computer, zip, 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 every Thursday morning, boom, boom, bip, in nice downloadable form. The best show waiting for you. But we got to start running these podcast numbers up. Somebody told me there's two people subscribing to my podcast. Two people, that's it? That's the best I could come up with? Two? We'll plan that in the we'll plan that soon enough. We'll get the theme song contest out of the way. But if you have the podcast, tell a friend about it. It's good. It's fun to have the best show on your computer. It's fun. Get it showing up for you each and every week. So the table has been set for tonight's program. Top of hour two, Jeff Fierzig, director of The Devil and Daniel Johnston, in theaters now. We'll be calling up. He's got some stuff he wants to get off his chest, apparently. We will find out what that might be. If you want to be my 1,000th MySpace friend, call or write me via the MySpace and tell me why. Got a couple people here. We got a that person almost should just be. I got the Dana. Dana asking to be my MySpace friend. He's famous. He does the voice of Master Shake on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. But you know what? Not giving it to him. No guarantee, Dana. You're no lock to become my 1,000th friend. Oh, you'll be a friend of mine. No lock to become my 1,000th friend, though. Look at this. I got somebody who's a part of the band Danielson writing to be my 1,000th friend. Ellen. She wants to be my 1,000th. We're going to play some Danielson later in the show. That one dude from Danielson doesn't call anymore. He used to call all the time. Little dude from Danielson. He was a good guy. Freddie Danielson, or whatever his name was. Was that it, Freddie? Or Rudy? Something like that. So we will deal with these things later. We'll go over, see if we have any new entries for the for the theme song contest. We will visit that later in the program. It is going to be an action-packed show, people. But right now, it is Open Phone Tuesday, 201-209-9368. You call. Whatever you want to talk about, that's what we talk about. It's very exciting. You know what? There's a game I've been wanting to play for a while. Game I've been wanting to play on the show. Human beings, we are all wired very differently. While we are the same in so many ways, we are all so different. And some of us are able to get more emotional than others. Isn't that true? But and some people get emotional about different things. But the one thing that I think is weirdly unique amongst all humans would be that everybody can get choked up over something that they might be the only person who it affects emotionally. Can you come in here for a second, Mike? We have Mike. First of all, Mike, tonight's an exciting night for the program. Your title for the show is call screener, right?
That's true.
Well, tonight, guess what? You've been bumped up.
Really?
Yes.
What's my new title?
Executive call screener.
Okay. I like that.
Do you want to be called executive call screener or associate producer?
Associate producer. I like the ring of that better.
Okay. Associate producer tonight. You now are associate producer.
Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much. Thank you.
Can you aim the mic? As an associate producer, you should have a little more authority on mic. Okay. I think you want to aim it directly at you like this.
Still
haven't worked this out. There we go. That's it. Well, thank you, first of all, for your screening and every week coming down here and helping. Do you know what I mean when people react to certain things emotionally? Like it'll be the thing where all of a sudden you'll be watching a TV show or a commercial or a movie, and there'll be like a moment in it that all of a sudden you start to get a little choked up about. And it's not the moment like in Field of Dreams when they play catch at the end.
There's actually a very funny family story that I have that's exactly about that. When we were kids, we were watching Lassie, and my older brother was laid out on the floor, and just like, you know, watching engrossed in this episode of Lassie. I can't remember the exact circumstances, but, you know, we were behind him, so we couldn't see what his reaction was. And it was a sad episode, and I think a dog died. And he just turned at the end of the episode, and he looked back at us, and he said, "It's so sad," and he was bawling. And we never let him live that one down.
So he never heard the end of that.
Yeah, that was it.
The Lassie episode got him.
Yeah.
I might still say that Lassie, though, that's meant to be a little manipulative. You know what I mean? Do you know the things that are, you know what I mean, where all of a sudden you're watching a movie and there's a weird moment in it that just speaks to just you? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
for example, I'll tell you one that affects me. Please don't laugh. Have you ever seen the movie 8mm? No, I'm kidding. It's not the movie 8mm. Have you ever seen the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
I think I've only seen parts of that.
Well, that's a good movie, though. In the movie, when Pee-wee, who hates snakes through the whole movie, he saves the day at the end when runs out of the pet store holding on like there's a pet store that's on fire in the movie, and he's got it's a choice between like saving his bike or the pet store, the flaming pet store. So he goes to the pet store, he starts running in and out, saving all the animals one by one, and then he comes out with the snakes, like he actually saved snakes that he hates, and then he passes out on the sidewalk. I get emotionally affected by that moment. I can't help it, but it's weird.
Did you have an experience with a pet when you were younger?
No.
No, there's no...
It's just that he was so giving that Pee-wee went deeper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does this make any sense to you?
Well, yeah, I could see that. That probably wasn't a moment that everybody... I mean, were other people equally choked up? Mm-hmm. Or do you think you were the only one who...
I would say I might be one of the five people on Earth emotionally affected by that moment.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, maybe some callers will agree with you.
What number should they call? It's 201-209-9368. If anybody, what is the moment that you out there, you the WFMU listener, the best show listener, get affected by that one thing that it does? It's completely off the radar, and it wasn't some heartstring tugging moment where they were trying to manipulate an audience, like in Titanic or something like that, where you're supposed to all of a sudden everybody's supposed to be, but it's the kind of thing where it's like, wow, that spoke to just me. And it could be commercials. There's commercials that affect people like that. Nothing?
No? I have to give it more thought. Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, I mean, the ones that are coming to mind are the obvious ones, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Brian's song. And,
yes.
Different sports type movies. Lou Gehrig, right? The famous speech.
Yes. The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Luckiest man.
I'm going to take a call. Let's see. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
Hey, who's this?
This is T-Rox.
Oh, hey, T-Rox. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I have a movie that gets me a little choked up.
All right, what is it?
And there's some scenes in it that pull at your heartstrings,
mm-hmm.
but the movie itself, you'd think that that would negate it.
Okay.
It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right. Now, what moment gets you?
Well, there are a lot of moments. I mean, when Splinter is in the fire and he's talking to them about how they've passed his last test, and that's not control of their body but control of their mind, and that he has one last most important message for them, and that's that he loves them.
Uh-huh.
That kind of gets to me a bit more than most people.
But it's still within the middle of a completely moronic movie, is the whole thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like most people, I think the idea that it's four Ninja Turtles being spoken to by the spirit of their almost deceased rat sensei.
Yes.
Would kind of negate the emotional tug
that
for most people.
That hits
but
you.
For me, it really gets me. I start tearing up and like trying not to cry.
How old were you when you saw that movie?
I don't know. I was younger, but I mean, like, I saw it again a couple of weeks ago, and it still happens.
You still got emotional.
And also, when Casey Jones is talking about family, I mean, like, there are a lot of moments where.
Casey Jones is talking about family.
Yeah, I totally admit that they're really cheesy, like they shouldn't get to me.
Uh-huh, but they got you.
Oh, they totally get me, Tom.
All right, that's the kind of moment I'm talking about. Thank you, T-Rox.
Sure thing.
You're a very deep, soulful person.
Yeah, of course I am.
Okay. Good night, young man. 201-209-9368. You hear the heart that guy put out there? Mike is... Maybe this is that moment for you.
I'm tearing up.
It's hearing T-Rox talk about a moment from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm still trying to find something. Yeah, I'm thinking of like cartoons, which you don't expect to have like a heart-rending moment for a cartoon.
Yeah.
But sometimes they get you.
What about the moment when Bugs Bunny was asleep in his rabbit hole, right? How about this moment? He's asleep in his rabbit hole. Then there's a flood, right?
Yeah, and he's drifting along.
But then he wakes up in the middle of his flooded rabbit hole and fills a glass of water.
I don't remember that being particularly sad.
Do you remember that moment?
I vaguely, yeah.
He woke up in the middle of the night.
Is he sleepwalking, or is that another
kind of, yeah, he has a little sleep cap on, I think, and then he went back to bed. Like, he filled up the, he had a little water cooler in his, which I think is even weirder than the fact that he was somehow existing, that a rabbit was existing underwater, was that, where'd he get a water cooler? Does he get some dude to bring a new jug every week?
I don't know.
And then he got back in bed. Then the bed floated up through the rabbit hole. And then he was picked up the Mad Scientist Castle.
Yeah, that was a different type of episode. It was a little experimental, I guess.
Yeah, that one.
Very dreamy.
Exactly. I like that. That's maybe my favorite one. Yeah, that or the baseball one. Right? You know the baseball one?
Give me more.
When Bugs Bunny plays all the positions.
All the positions, yeah. That's a good one.
And then there's, what gets me about the Bugs Bunny thing is that that you watch it, and all of a sudden they'll be like, start going into like doing send ups of the era, you know, and it's like he'll be like, frankly, my dear, I don't give it, you know, they're like, oh, I know who that is. And all of a sudden he'll go like, bruh, 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 and you're like, who's that? He'll be like, bruh, 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 and you're like, I don't know. I have no. That is a person completely lost to time.
You're gonna have to come with footnotes soon.
Exactly. Just almost like a little pop-up video.
Uh-huh.
Can you... the phones are alighting.
Okay.
Thank you, associate producer Mike. What moment in a movie affects you emotionally like that, that you can't figure it out? It has nothing to do with a moment that should affect you by all rights, but it hits you. And you might be the only one who it affects. I know this is a hard one. I like the idea that there's somebody in the chat named Tentpole. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Scott from Chicago.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Enjoying the nice weather out here.
Ah.
Yeah. But, you know, I have kind of an embarrassing one of these moments.
Okay.
And I kind of feel bad for admitting this, but I feel like I gotta come clean, you know.
Just say it. I owned the Pee-wee's Big Adventure one.
Well, the Pee-wee's is a good one, man. I mean, and you know, I just recently saw that film for the first time in a really long time.
Yes.
And I hadn't realized that Tim Burton had directed it.
Sure.
And like going back with that kind of knowledge, it just, you know, just made the whole thing so much more intense and crazy for me. And yes. I thought it was pretty amazing.
Okay, I enjoy that movie very much.
Yeah. You go
ahead.
Okay. So, like, there's this like kind of trend with like bank commercials and sort of thing, and car commercials a few years ago, where they would use like kind of like this nostalgic kind of footage. Like, there was one in particular. It was for Bank One, which is a bank here in Chicago.
Okay.
And they used footage of the Wright brothers, like first launching their plane, you know, and there's this guy talking about how, in this deep voice, about how the innovation comes, you know, with, it's just like, I mean, I don't even know, like, innovation is really something special that only comes around once every 20 years or something. And, you know, of course they were talking about like free ATMs or something, but
yeah.
But it got to me, man. That nostalgic footage just kills me.
It hit you. Do you think you were the only person affected by it to that degree in Chicago?
Well, you know, people here are kind of weepy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, I got to tell you. Why is somebody being mean to Scott on the chat?
Who's being mean to me?
Spitzer. Who's Spitzer? Spitzer said, oh, Scott from Chicago, hit the snooze button.
Thanks. I'll get on there and talk to him.
I don't like that. We're friends here. We're friends. Thank you, Scott. That was a great call.
Thank you, Scott.
You keep. And it was a very well modulated call. Also, your levels were fantastic.
Well, thank you, sir.
You delivered. It was clear, and because it shows that a guy who can only work a mixing board.
Yeah, I try to work that mixing board.
Well, you did a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Hey, it's Chris L.
Hey, Chris L., how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
From down in Maryland.
Yeah.
How are things in Maryland right now?
I'm worn out from all the excitement.
It's very exhausting.
Yeah, it's very exhausting. Dodging all the excitement.
Exactly. So you stay away from. It's exciting, but you stay away from the excitement.
Yeah, pretty much.
So do you have one of these moments, Chris L., one of these emotional moments where you are the only one that could seemingly be affected by it, but it hits you hard and you feel a little weird knowing that you might be alone on this?
Maybe, but hopefully it's not more snooze button material.
Don't worry about that.
I can take it. Have you ever seen the movie Spellbound about the spelling bee?
Sure.
Competition?
Yes.
Yeah, I watched that. I don't know when it came up, but I watched it. I was crying on and off throughout the whole thing.
Just because?
It was the weirdest thing. I was watching it. I wanted all these kids to win.
Uh-huh.
And I got really into it. And I was thinking why. And I think it was like the day after the Super Bowl or something I watched it. And I was just watching it. I was thinking, this is the most pointless competition.
Uh-huh.
It's absolutely meaningless. But it, in a way, it's no more meaningless than all of the many jock things that are celebrated in our culture. And I don't know, it's just like, it's the one chance for nerds to shine.
And it hit you that these nerds were going up against each other.
Yeah. And I wanted, and it was like, whenever one kid got dropped, like, or I was, I got a little choked up. And, I don't know, but it was just like, it was a celebration of nerds and nerddom.
Well, that's a good moment. You did it.
Yeah.
Great and, call, buddy.
All right.
Anything all right. else? Anything?
No? Not really.
No. Well, thank you, Chris L.
Oh, thank you.
FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Emerson from the message board.
Hey, Emerson. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. The weather is nice. You're in Chicago.
You're in Chicago as well.
Yeah, and I think that when he was talking about the snooze button, maybe he was saying that there was an alarm clock going off in the background and he should silence that.
Oh,
I couldn't hear one, but I'm just thinking, you know, there could be another side to that story.
All right, well, we'll fair enough.
Now, my cinematic moment, and it was probably a function of being young when the movie came out, but have you seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Sure.
I saw that movie when I was pretty young, and the scene where one of the dancing shoes gets dipped into turpentine.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, for those that don't remember, like, the only way you could kill a cartoon character is by dipping it into this turpentine mix that Judge Doom had.
Yes.
And he was showing off this by dipping one of the little happy dancing shoes into it, and I was completely crushed by that.
It hit your heart.
I was devastated for days. I couldn't. I just was thinking big thoughts about life and death, and I've never heard anyone else mention that as a pivotal moment.
That's heavy duty, and you might be the only one.
I have a feeling that that's the case.
Good one, buddy. Good one.
All right. Have a good show.
Well, I was going to say you too, but you don't,
I don't have a
show.
A show.
Only I do. Well, you know what? You're part of it, so you had a good show too.
Well, thank you.
We all had a good show tonight.
Let's keep it going.
Let's see. There's 2 hours to go. I could make everybody take that back. All right.
Well, with thinking like that, maybe.
Don't worry.
Positive.
I go in like I'm ready to I'm trying to win the award for best radio show ever. Every show.
All right. Well, I'll get that happens.
Someday I'll get that award. Thank you, Emerson.
Bye, Tom.
201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. What is the moment in a movie where you see that moment and you get all weepy? But it's not a heart tugging moment that is recognized as being a being like one of the like, it's not a classic moment. It's not the end of Titanic or one of those manipulative movies. This is just it's speaking to you, and you feel a little weird when you get emotional, but you do. 201-209-9368. FMU, you're on the air.
Tom, how's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. Who's this?
Not just a good show, the best show.
That's right.
That's right.
That's how we operate here, young man.
This is Stefanos from Staten Island.
Staten Island's checking in. How about what's going on over on Staten Island?
Oh, you know, a lot of tanning salonery.
Yes, you're going over to Sedudo's later?
Bro, I'm going to go over to Sedudo's with my Impala. You got to check out the specs on this car. They're sick. They're sick, bro.
This guy is from Staten Island. So what's what moment affects you like?
Well, the first moment that I can recall
is
an animated version of Frankenstein. And toward the end of the movie, Frankie kind of gets the hint that he messes up everybody's life around him.
Mm-hmm.
So he jumps off a cliff.
Really?
And this is a kid's movie, so it's like, you know, it's made for like, you know, the 6 to 8 crowd.
Yeah.
So that was pretty harsh.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah.
And that hit you.
Yeah, pretty hard. I was bawling my eyes out with my cousin underneath the coffee table, and my mom and aunt came downstairs to see what all the commotion was about and found the two of us crying under the coffee table, hugging each other, and basically blasting our faces, which didn't really help.
Yeah, that's not nice. So what, do you have any other ones? You said the first one.
That's the first one that I can remember. If I remember any other ones, I'll call back in.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Bye. FMU, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Hey. Who's this?
This is Shale from Middletown, New York.
How's it going tonight, Shale?
Bad. Not bad.
Do you have a moment?
Yeah, I do. There is an animated film, a Japanese film, an anime called Robot Carnival, which is a series of kind of artsy shorts, and I don't know, like, anyone who's seen it, but, like, me and a couple other people who saw it when it aired on Cartoon Network in, like, 1995 when I was 13.
Okay.
But there's one short called Presence about this, he starts off as a young man, and he's this weird, listless inventor, and he just goes through this bin of parts he finds in, a junkyard, and he builds this woman, and she's really eerie and, like, lifelike, and she's, like, a mannequin, and he kind of teaches her how to be a person, and then mm-hmm. she leaves, and at the end of the movie, it's really short. Like, she comes back, he's really old on his porch, and he's, like, been waiting there for her to come back, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he's, like, 100, and he can really stand up, and he's like, ooh, just, like, reaching out to her. And she's out there, kind of coming towards him, and she takes, like, one faulty step, and, like, she's so old that she shatters into little sand-fine particles and blows away in the breeze.
Uh-huh.
And that just absolutely devastated me when I was 13, and I still cannot watch it. I have it on VHS, like I taped it when it was aired, and man.
You still can't watch it.
No.
You'll still get a little sad, won't you?
Very sad. It's a good film. And
what is the name of that movie again?
It's called Robot Carnival. It's an anime. And it's early anime, or older anime fans would know it. I think it came out in like 83 in Japan, and then it was brought over here in very limited release. I forget what company, but I only have a copy I taped off Cartoon Network when they were new.
All right, buddy. That is a great call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye. 201-209-9368. Is there a moment that affects you emotionally in a movie or TV show or commercial or anything? Book. We read books too. 201-209-9368. 9368. You know what we're going to do right now? It's actually the top of the hour. It's here on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, Worldwide, World Wide Web, WFMU.org. Going to play a quick record. We'll be back with Jeff Fierzig, director of The Devil and Daniel Johnson, who apparently has something he wants to... we're going to talk to him about post-release of his movie. We talked to him before it came out. We're going to find out what it's like now that his movie is out. We'll get the lowdown. But first, we're going to hear another smash record by the band we'll be seeing. By we, I mean me, next week. Get out of my voices. That's right. The best show on WFMU, back again. Just heard, I'm not going to see Guided by Voices next week. No, I made a little mistake in my grammar there. Going to see Robert Pollard. My apologies. But we heard Guided by Voices from the Earthquake Glue album. We heard Secret Star. We were very excited to have on the phone. We had him on a couple weeks ago. He was on the show talking about his movie that was then upcoming. It's The Devil and Daniel Johnson. Now it's been in theaters for
2 weeks.
Two weeks. Oh, you got me there. Oh, you scared me.
That's right. We're now sausage in the corporate machine.
We're now
a product, officially.
That is Jeff Fierzig, the director of The Devil and Daniel Johnson, on the line right now.
How are you? The best show on WFMU. Hey, Tom, what do you say?
Not a whole lot. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right.
Now, your movie's been out.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's now product. It is now consumable. You were working on this thing for years, and it was almost, as far as anybody else is concerned, a theoretical exercise. They didn't have a chance to buy it.
No. It not only was a theoretical exercise, it was Fulton's folly. Everyone laughed at me for making this film.
For going out there and dedicating years upon years. How many years? How many years of actual shooting?
Actual shooting, four and a half years.
And you were shooting this thing. This is not you showing up with the camcorder.
No.
And talking to Thurston Moore about the movie.
No. Matter of fact, we didn't talk to Thurston Moore about the movie, though he's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because he supplied his own footage very nicely of him. Actually, Lee Ronaldo did.
Yes. But that's actually an interesting thing that we can talk about later, is how the movie... you let the movie tell the story. It's not a normal movie filled with endorsements and whatnot, but that's for later in the conversation.
No, it's like you go to the airport and sometimes you see a really beautiful quilt and everybody does like one panel.
Yes.
That's what this is. You know, Lee Ronaldo sent in a beautiful panel. Other people sent in stuff. Daniel sent in stuff. And it's like a quilt.
It adds up to the... You were the guy... So you, in a way, were the guy who runs the... you run the kind of the art for the airport. You're the guy who decides on what gets displayed at the airport.
Right. And then some, like, critics in Boston or San Diego decide that you should land on a really small runway on the other side of town and not on the main... Not in the main terminal.
Uh-huh. You say Boston and San Diego. What?
Boston, San Diego. We're here tonight to take the town of Boston out at the knees.
What happened in Boston?
I'll tell you what happened in Boston. First of all, I don't know about you, but you would think that the town that spawned the great Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, you kind of think that when The Devil and Daniel Johnson gets released in the town of Boston,
yeah,
that there's a soft place in their heart for artists like this. That's what I was thinking.
Sure. What happened?
Well, there's a critic up there for the Boston Herald. His name is James Vernier. And, not only did James Vernier give us a less than favorable review, but he gets in a little over his head, this guy, I got to tell you.
Okay.
Film critics become music critics all of a sudden. When this film gets into discussion, it's very humorous. they're all, I think they're all, in deep down inside, they're frustrated music critics that somehow got on the film beat. But they really want to be doing what you do.
What's that? Playing records?
Playing records. And telling people which ones are good and which ones are bad.
All right. Yeah, so they have that drive. So it's just not enough to tell people which movies are good and bad.
That's right.
They want to prove that they know about music also.
That's right.
Nobody wants to be somebody with bad taste in music.
No.
It almost is like the two things you want to be are you have a good sense of humor and you have good taste in music.
That's right. And I got to tell you, we've been very, very lucky. It's incredible. Around the country, the reviews have honestly been astounding. I think Rotten Tomatoes, that site that tracks a lot of the reviews, were like 83%. It's just incredible.
That's a fresh rating.
Yeah, it's beyond fresh.
That'll get you a fresh rating up there, easily.
But a couple people, like this guy up in Boston, I'm not even sure he saw the same movie, this guy. I'm going to read you a quote from this guy, all right?
All right.
His headline is Feeling Sympathy for the Devil. All
okay.
right?
Uh-huh.
He says, the fine line between genius and madness has been far more entertainingly examined in such films as Terry Zwigoff's fine 1994 documentary, Crumb.
Great movie.
Great movie. Johnston makes Robert Crumb and Harvey Pekar seem as huggable as Forrest Gump by comparison. Now, I'm not sure about this, but according to my sources at the Sunshine Theater in New York, The Devil and Daniel Johnson is a laugh riot compared to Crumb. There's actual laughs. I love the movie Crumb, but I don't remember laughing at that movie.
I remember taking a shower after that movie.
Exactly. And that's a great, great movie.
Oh, absolutely. That's indisputable. I love it.
No, he's telling me that that's more, that's a funnier, more entertaining film. I don't agree.
The Devil and Daniel Johnston
at the Sunshine.
At the Sunshine. You see it. You got it playing over in Boston. I mean, but how many theaters is it in Boston?
You know, I think we're in one theater in Boston. And you know, it's not a disaster. Some of the people are coming out in Boston, but it's interesting how one critic can sink a city.
Yeah.
You know, and in New York, it's a bona fide hit. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
And this guy really, I mean, why pick on Daniel Johnston?
Well,
he's not even picking on the movie. He's almost mean to the guy.
Are you getting a lot of people who don't get, who think that the movie is, which is almost like a put on, like they don't get that this guy's real?
Well, they can't believe, this guy calls him, Daniel, his music is childish, self-indulgent, and monotonously morose. So he really wants to, and his art, the same thing, he says. And it's just interesting how this guy, he doesn't really review the film. It's a shame.
Wow.
He's really put off that Daniel, quote-unquote, can't play the guitar. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
It's actually funnier in San Diego because this other guy, not only is he a critic of music and art, besides film, but he actually takes on WFMU because he's really put off by the fact that Daniel's 1990 legendary radio broadcast on WFMU is being compared to Orson Welles' 1938 broadcast of War of the Worlds. This really puts this guy off. He's also, now he's a radio critic, this guy.
Uh-oh, now he's into my turf.
He's taking on your turf right here.
Oh,
now,
I don't like that.
As far as I know, in WFMU circles, the Johnston broadcast is much more famous than the Wells broadcast.
The Daniel broadcast.
Yeah, the Daniel Johnston broadcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. First of all, it aired here.
And a hell of a lot scarier, I might add.
Mike just listened to the Daniel Johnston thing for the first time, associate producer Mike, and he was saying... He was just like, wow, that was something else. Like, that was manic.
That was radio at its finest.
It's on the edge.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
People hearing the thing talk about Orson Welles going, saying, okay, now we're going to throw it over to the ballroom and blah, blah, blah. Ever, nobody was buying that. That's a, Orson Welles, actually, he actually told people everybody was buying it. Nobody believed it. He started telling everybody. There's like five hillbillies believed it.
I know. It's unbelievable. He really hyped that. I mean, I've heard that broadcast. I don't know how anybody believed that was real.
Yeah. It's not so hot.
I'm a big fan of Orson Welles, but I don't think that broadcast was all it's cracked up to be. But Daniel's broadcast, my God, on the FMU airwaves. Well, first of all, it spawned the idea for this film. And you got this guy in San Diego who's got there too much sun on his face, I guess. I mean, this guy really, really is a mean guy. It's amazing. You make a love bomb, and it generates a lot of hate.
Now, that guy was a fan of Daniel Johnston.
Who, this guy David Elliott from the Union Tribune?
In San Diego.
In San Diego? I don't think he was a fan of Daniel Johnston that I can tell.
All right.
No.
What was his problem with it? He was just...
Well, I mean, he's accusing me of being exploitive.
See, that's the one thing I will say wholeheartedly, that the movie is nothing but it is nothing but like a tribute to Daniel Johnston.
Yeah, he calls Daniel a freak. I mean, this is a person who's not well. I mean, it's just downright mean. We got 2 stars out of this guy. Incredible. You know, Ebert and Roper gave us 2 thumbs up, but this guy in San Diego wants to take on Ebert and Roper? Guy's out of his depth.
The guy's trying to make he's trying to make his bones.
Yeah, childish recordings, bad recordings, childish drawings. The film circles its subject obsessively like a besotted bug. Amazing.
Now we got somebody on the Friends of Tom chat. This is our chat board.
How's that work?
The people just go to it and they write in, and somebody said on here, somebody said that you are taking it, you're reminding them of Vincent Gallo.
Vincent Gallo, first of all, is a hero of mine. I was actually going to make a documentary about him called Saint Vincent.
Uh huh.
No, people should not misunderstand. We're talking about literally 2 cities. We're not the rest of the country. We're thrilled with, and it's just disappointing in a couple of cities because it ruins it for the people who might want to come and check something out. You know, he's like trying to protect the masses. That's all. There's no sour grapes here. These are very humorous to read some criticism like this.
Yes, yeah. you're doing the movie's doing great.
Movie's doing great. That's the truth.
And you must be getting good. What are some of the, let's talk about the other side of the coin.
The other side of the coin is I've never seen, it's almost astounding. People are comparing Daniel to Chauncey Gardner from the movie Being There. That's a high compliment. I love that.
Yeah.
People are comparing the film to Nick Tosh's Dino. That was in the New York Press. That was very nice.
Yeah, that's a great book.
Yeah. There's been a lot of really nice things said about the film. And about Daniel, a lot of people have really basically seen the tragic beauty and heard the music and looked at the art, and they're sort of mostly for 98% weighing in basically what the Whitney Biennial has said, that Daniel's a fine artist. He's not an outsider artist, that we've elevated this guy to his true stature in the world as a fine artist.
Sure.
And that's been great. That was the point of this anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is not Vincent Gallo's Sour Grapes, but we love Vincent Gallo, we love the Brown Bunny, and we love Buffalo 66. These are probably the two best independent narrative films this country's seen in the last 10 years.
Now, now are you going to work on, is a Vincent Gallo documentary possible?
Yes, I've thought a lot about a Vincent Gallo documentary, actually. I've collected every article, interview that he's ever made. I've gotten his garage recordings when he played bass in a band in Buffalo with a friend of Todd Abramson he was in a band with. I've examined those recordings. His own home recordings, his album When is a masterpiece. The Brown Bunny, I think, is just an astounding piece of cinema. And I think Buffalo 66 is a comic masterpiece. And I especially love his interviews where he interviews himself. I don't know if you've read this.
No. So.
Yeah, reading Vincent Gallo's own interviews of himself, I think they appear on his website. You're truly in the mind of a genius. The guy, like Daniel, is a master of so many art forms. master of cinema, master of music. He's an artist. I mean, the guy is just incredible. And I find him incredibly hilarious, entertaining, tragic. I think Vincent Gallo has all the same things that Daniel really has that attracted me to Daniel. And I say that unabashedly. When I saw Buffalo 66, I dragged friends out to the theater. I saw it in the theater like three times, projected. You know, shot on reversal stock. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I just sat there and I was like, you know, time to hang it up. There's no reason to make a narrative film anymore. You cannot make a better film than what Vincent Gallo has done in Buffalo 66. You just shouldn't even bother. It was like game, set, match. He's the auteur of America, no question about it.
And Brown Bunny, which I have never seen.
Well, you know, it's a shame because it should be seen on the big screen, the Brown Bunny. It's unfortunate that it got bad reviews by Roger Ebert at Cannes. And it was unfortunate for Roger Ebert because what did Vincent do? As you know, he put a hex on Ebert's colon, and thus I believe that Ebert actually did get cancer from the hex that Vincent put on him, so which is very unfortunate. But the truth is the film is a masterpiece, and everybody should see it, and what people had said about it is not true. And it is a trial to get through the film, but it pays off so, so beautifully in the end. It really, really does. It all comes together. And he really plays with something you don't see in cinema anymore, which is time. He plays with time. Mm-hmm. In our quick-cut culture, where everything just has to move so fast, Vincent did the opposite. You know, did the opposite. He's a true subversive. Anyway, I just adore both films. I think they're just, it doesn't get any better. I can't wait to see what he does next.
I think next he's actually going to be running to be the Republican senator of New York.
Yeah, the Republican issue is a problem. Him and as we learned, Johnny Ramone. I don't understand that aspect of Vincent. But wouldn't that be fascinating in the documentary about him titled St. Vincent to examine the Republican dark side?
Yeah, and it is. He looks at it. It doesn't look at it as a dark side.
No, he doesn't, and it would be interesting to have him explain himself. You know, it's so odd to find an artist who is a Republican. It's so rare, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you think that's him being a contrarian a little bit, or do you think he's just – do you think he's running you know, like sometimes people get to be so contrarian in life mm-hmm. that they almost don't even know they're doing it anymore, and they start to believe just taking the opposite opinion on something just because, and they don't even know that they're doing it anymore.
I can't speak for Vincent Gallo, but from what I've read, he seems very knowledgeable, and I think he does believe
that
in the Republican Party.
He's walking the line.
That's my impression. And this is the one case. You know, people think of his art as contrarian, and I think it's 100% sincere. I've only met him briefly, basically banging into him on the street, mm-hmm. you know, of New York and L.A. and. You know, we haven't really had a serious talk, but I just complimented him on the work he'd done, and that's all I really could say to him. I mean, he's a great artist, and I just wanted to tell him how deeply he affected me.
Was he wearing his Reagan button at the time?
he was not wearing his Reagan button, but he wasn't out leafleting for the Bush campaign either.
Did you see he actually is auctioning? Did you ever see the merchandise he sells on his site?
You know, I'm not aware of the merch. I should check that out.
You'd probably want to go to vgmerchandise.com.
Right now? I got my computer right here.
Why don't you go to it right now, literally, and look at some of the
okay,
things
here we go.
He's selling.
Let's see what he's... VG Merch... Wait, hold on. Can I just go Vincent Gallo Merch?
Just go vgmerchandise.com.
Okay, hold on. VG Merchandise.
You can actually look... for example, he has a...
Wow. I can't wait. I'm so excited right now.
If you click on art... You can check out his Reagan-Bush campaign trail helmet Lang parka.
Come on, really?
Yes, that he's
VG,
selling.
VG, this isn't working. Hold on, merch, and I don't want to make bad radio here.
Don't worry, you'll find it.
Merchandise, vgmerchandise.com. Here we go. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, my God, you're right. Vincent Gallo, the official website for Vincent Gallo merchandise. You know, I think he's added this recently because I haven't been on the site in a while. Okay, so where's the merch?
Just click on...
clothing, or what should I click on?
Click on art.
Art.
Check art out.
Let's check the art out. Here we go. Oh, my God, that's amazing. Reagan Bush campaign trail helmet Lang parka by Vincent Gallo.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. $650. Is he not giving it away?
No.
One of a kind. Only one available. Oh, but hey, take a look. It was sold.
Oh, it's gone already.
It's already gone. Somebody might have clicked while we were reading about it.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's see what else we can sell for him tonight.
The
want to go to the go to clothing. It's funny that went under art, not clothing.
I guess maybe it had the screened.
Well, take a look. The Brown Bunny T-shirt, which was rare, very rare, it says. $60 for a T-shirt.
Sold out. You can't even get it anymore.
Well, the movie was great, so the T-shirt must have been great.
All the T-shirts are gone. Look at this.
This is unbelievable. All right, let's go to what is available? Hold on. Let's go to print. Maybe he's got a book or something.
Well, he does have this Burberry trench coat available, worn by him in the movie Moscow Zero.
Uh-huh. Hold on.
$900.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, who's going to get it, you or me?
Well, I'm going to let you win that one.
The trench coat. Wow. Oh, he's got a fringe jacket, a leather fringe jacket, owned and worn by Vincent at the Rothko concert, wherever that was. I've never seen him live, as far as the music goes. Wow, this is big. Vincent Gallo's authentic Boulder motorcycle suit from the Brown Bunny. $15,000. Nobody's bought that yet.
You might be making a move on that.
Well, the box office at the Sunshine for Devil and Daniel is going to have to be a little bit larger for me to be looking at that,
start walking
motorcycle suit.
Before you start seeing you walking around Silver Lake.
Yeah, and Vincent's Brown Bunny motorcycle suit. I think the numbers in San Diego and Boston are going to really have to go up.
Uh-huh. Now, just getting back to the movie, this is Jeff Fierzig, the director of The Devil and Daniel Johnston. By the way, the phone's 201-209-9368. If somebody wants to say anything to Jeff, and he can take it, too. If you've got something bad to say, he can take it.
Oh, yeah,
he's a
no
big
problem.
Boy. If he's steaming you up, say it. I'm looking at the chat right now.
Funny. Vincent Gallo and Daniel Johnston, for some reason, are polarizing subjects to people. I don't know why.
You got a guy right now saying, I wish I never heard of this guy, Jeff Fierzig. Now I have to fight a predisposition to dislike the movie just because of him.
Oh, no. You know, back in the day, it was a lot of fun to read guys like Byron Coley, Gerard Cosloy, because they would stir things up just to start a fight.
Yeah.
You know, provoke some interesting discussion. There's nothing wrong with that.
201-209-9368. I want somebody. Look at this. I planned to see the Johnson film this week. After this interview, I'm dumping it.
Oh, come on. You're kidding me.
No.
This is what, from...
Somebody getting off board now. They're getting off the train.
Why, because I'm back in Vincent Gallo?
I don't know.
Wow.
Call 201-209-9368. I want answers on that.
I'm proud to back Vincent Gallo. It's amazing. Every time I meet people, Vincent Gallo comes up, and they can never just discuss the film or something or the record. It's always about his personality. They can't separate the man from the art, and I don't understand that.
I'm not surprised this guy likes Gallo so much. They're both narcissists.
Oh, my Lord.
People are letting you have it. They're letting you hit the. You know what? I want to know, though, real quick.
What's that?
Before we get to a couple of these phone calls, what is the reaction now that the movie is out? Have you heard anything from Daniel or the family?
Oh, yeah. Well, Daniel and the family came to Sundance. We flew him in for the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something very beautiful. He said he loved the colors.
He loved the colors in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. You mean just because it's a very vibrant movie?
He thought he loved the colors. He thought it looked beautiful. He said,
"Uh huh."
Now I thought that was a high compliment from such a great artist.
Now with the movie out, though, have you heard anything from anybody? How they?
Not really. I mean, it's sort of they've said what they had to say. Daniel thought it should have a laugh track, and no, not really.
We got some calls here for Jeff Fierzig.
Let's see what's going on.
Director of The Devil and Daniel Johnston.
Hello?
FMU, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, hello.
I was just curious. You were talking about the Vincent Gallo website. How come you're not talking about the fact that he's selling his own sperm?
He actually is on the site.
Is he selling it right now?
It's still there. It's in like miscellaneous or something like that.
Oh, I didn't get to that page.
He won't sell it to black people, and he'll give a discount to Jews.
And how much is he? How much is he selling?
He feels that they'll, you know, maybe with that those genetics, they'll have a successful film.
Wow.
How much is he selling it for?
I think it's $1 million.
Yes.
Wow.
$1 million.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Well, there you
go. Phones are lit up now. 201-209.
Man, Mr. Gallo really gets the lines cooking there.
That's right.
Tom.
I think you are, too. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Jeff. How are you guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Who's this?
Good. This is Dan in Bloomfield.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, when can we expect the movie in Montclair?
You know, it's funny. I don't know, because we're going to be at, it's listed for Voorhees in New Jersey, and I'm not sure exactly where Voorhees is. Do you?
South, I believe.
Yeah, and I understand that the poster for The Devil and Daniel Johnston has been up at the Montclair Cinema for quite some time, because my brother lives up in Montclair, and I know he's seen it. But I don't have a listing. Maybe you have to ask the theater owner to book it, perhaps.
I will do that.
That'd be great.
There you go. Thanks, buddy. FMU, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, this is Zeph.
Who's this?
Zeph.
Zeph.
First of all, I want to say that your call screener was very rude to me once again.
It was very rude. Were you rude?
Wow, rude call screening.
I'm sure he's not going to cop to it, but he threatened to show with to throw a shoe in my face.
Well, that does not sound like Mike at all.
Yeah, it's not very much fun.
Okay, I apologize.
A question for the filmmaker.
Yes.
Is it true that you made Mr. Johnston act like he did for the benefit of the filming?
That is certainly not true.
Because I read that the other day.
Where did you read this?
VelvetRope.com.
I'm sorry, where?
Velvet Rope.
Velvet Rope is like a gossip site.
I don't know what that is.
So,
I'm not aware of that website or what they said.
Like in what context?
True. No, the film's a documentary. It's not. You don't direct
involved.
A real person.
There was no acting involved.
Yeah, there's no acting in the movie. Of course.
Second question: is it true you're going to do a documentary on Mono Man?
Oh, Mono Man! You mean Jeff? You mean Jeff Connelly from The Liars?
Formerly of DMC.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan. I think the song "She Pays the Rent" is a masterpiece.
Kind of partial to On Fire. I think they lost it after that, though.
I love On Fire too.
So is there any possibility of a Mono Man documentary in the near future?
You know, I haven't contemplated the Mono Man documentary since I saw The Liars at Folk City many, many years ago when Todd Abramson was booking that club.
Oh, you mean Todd-a-phonic Todd?
Yes, I do.
Okay, how about a documentary on Dan Zanes?
On Dan Zanes? I don't know if I would be the appropriate person to do that film.
Richard Barone?
On Richard Barone? I don't believe I'd be the appropriate person on that film either.
I mean, is this...
What about Jason Ringenberg?
I definitely would not be the right person on that film.
Oh, well, now you've made me mad.
Oh, I'm not trying to make you mad.
Now I'm madder than a rattlesnake at a Thai wedding, and you're going to have to taste my wrath soon.
Whoa, my good.
Jason Ringenberg.
Oh, so you're not going to work on the... No chance of the Richard Barone movie.
I don't think I'm the right person.
All right. Well,
yeah. Drums Along the Hudson was a fine record.
Now, the phone number again, 201-209-936. We have the director of The Devil and Daniel Johnston, Jeff Fierzig, now in the, he's taking your calls now. Now that people have seen the movie, I know people have had opinions. I had people emailing me telling me they loved the movie. I had people emailing me just saying they were, you know, asking questions about it. People seem to really, it's not the kind of thing you see and then just kind of walk away from and go talk about something else. It seems like it sticks with people.
That was the idea.
And it seems to be working. People are on board. I'm still, I can't even look at this Vincent Gallo site anymore.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to click off of that. It's getting me sidetracked here, Tom.
The Vincent Gallo's childhood Hopalong Cassidy bedspread.
Oh, you're kidding.
I don't
want to
know anything about that.
Oh, that's astounding.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Hey, this is a guy who's made, like, even the web a fun place to visit. Even the web.
Exactly. He's even... You're right.
Yeah.
Do you
something that's gotten as boring as the World Wide Web has... You know, he's brought a little life to that.
Do you think he'd be game to be a subject of a documentary? Do you think he's ready for that?
I got to tell you, I have not officially approached him, and it's been on my mind. And it might be too soon to do the film about him. You know, I think he's got a little bit more left to do and say and stir mm-hmm. things up.
Sure.
But, you know, I would be honored to tell that story.
We got another call coming in here. WFMU, you're on the air.
Is that me? Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, all right. I was just going to say to Jeff Bierzig, he made me sort of confront sort of an inner conflict here. It was in the chat a minute ago when we were talking about Vincent Gallo
mm-hmm.
and about how people can't separate the man from the art and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I realized that I've always been able to completely separate the man from the art when it came to Johnny Ramone, who was by all accounts an insufferable human being.
Yeah, I saw that film too.
So perhaps maybe now Jeff Bierzig has convinced me that maybe it would be worthwhile to watch a Vincent Gallo documentary.
Oh, that's great. I mean it, because I always separated the same thing with Johnny. Johnny, you know, you had to separate the man from the art. And with Vincent, I think if you do the same, the art is just incredible. And I think
sure.
the man is also part of his art. I think what he does out there is he's a brilliant provocateur, and he's intentionally trying to... evoke the feelings that he's created in me and you and everybody.
Right.
And I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think people, even if they're listening to it, they got to realize that you're working it. You believe in this. You're not half-stepping it out there. You're not going to go on talking about, Daniel Johnson's pretty good. Maybe you might like him, maybe you might not.
No, Tom, honestly, this film is a line in the sand. I'm drawing the line.
Nobody wants to see a movie like that.
No.
I think the line would be drawn deeper and farther into the sand were you to do the Vincent Gallo documentary.
I accept the challenge. We just have
All
to
right.
get Vincent to want to cooperate.
There
all right.
Go.
The deal's been made live on FMU right now.
There we go. We got to start a petition.
That's all. I'm happy to take it on, but he would have to agree.
Maybe we'll tell Vincent we will buy that motorcycle jacket.
Hey, Tom, what about an FMU marathon where we raise money for this film? I mean, FMU has a lot of listeners. If everyone throws in, you know, $5 or $10, great Vincent Gallo film.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe we can.
How about a Gallo-thon?
A Gallo-thon. Well, we might have to take that over to
VGMerchandise.com. Yeah, I mean, let's make it happen. FMU should be producing films. They produce great radio.
Well, maybe FMU films. That could be the new thing. We got a couple other calls coming in here.
Yeah.
Hello. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question for the director guy.
Yes.
I'm trying to know what it is about Brown Bunny you think is genius, because I saw it and I was bored to tears. I mean, all it was, you know, you get a close-up of him looking tortured,
mm-hmm.
then he goes and sleeps with somebody, another close-up of him looking tortured, then he goes and sleeps with somebody, and I didn't see any genius there.
It's totally subjective, and how you feel... when you watch that film is absolutely valid. And some people, you know, like I could look at a piece of paneling long enough, I can see Jesus. It just depends on how you look at things. Your reaction is valid. I'm not going to convince you that film's genius. I just felt it was. I saw a lot of beauty in it. I saw when his pain and we'd come together at the very end. You finally figured out where his pain was coming from, and it was... it was non-linear the way he played with time to get you to this final conclusion. And I found that to be quite brilliant.
So, okay, I have to think about that. Thanks.
Well, it's like, you there?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm still here.
It's like I remember going to that Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was very familiar with a lot of his pop art paintings, but I wasn't familiar with... The car crashes and the accident that he had blown up. And all of a sudden I started staring at them and I saw really what a great conceptual artist he was. And I think the Brown Bunny is conceptual art in cinema. That's what I believe.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it really does come together at the very end. It really pays off. I know it's tough. It is a lot trial to get through, though.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thanks, bye. Another call here for Jeff Fierzig, director of The Devil and Daniel Johnson. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Rick out in Newbridge.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Talking about Johnny Ramone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, guy was saying he wasn't cool, but he was a good guy. Question related to that. Any truth to the rumor that you're going to do a documentary on Marky Ramone?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Marky, you know, Marky Bell, you mean, from Richard Hell and the Voidoids.
All the way back to Dust.
And who's also, right, the drummer of Dust.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Marky. And, you know, what can I tell you? He gave. And I think we should be...
Documentary on him.
Well, it seems like Marky makes a lot of his own documentaries now.
Wait,
but in the hands of someone like you, it could be even better. Not that his stuff wasn't the greatest already, because it is.
I'm actually kind of recognizing...
This sounds like Marky Ramone to me,
yes.
Tom.
Is this Marky Ramone?
Wait, you got Marky Ramone on the other line, too?
No, this is Marky Ramone.
I know it is, because I got to tell you, Tom, I met Marky on an airplane a few months ago, and
uh-huh.
This is definitely Marky. Hey, Marky, how you doing?
I don't know what you're talking about. That's not me. But you know, Marky Ramone, I wanted to tell you something that I heard about him.
Yeah?
He's got this new line of house paint. Marky Ramone Satin Shine House Paint.
He's got paints out?
Yeah, it's like house paints.
Uh-huh.
They're all black, like black leather.
Uh-huh.
So just something for you to think about for your documentary.
Wow.
So this isn't Marky Ramone, but you're plugging something that he's got out.
I just heard that that's what he's doing. And I wanted to tell the filmmaker that he should do something on Marky.
Well, and any...
Well, I don't know about this. Listen, either this is really Marky, Tom, or you've got, like, you know, Earth Dog Fred from the Howard Stern Show doing great voice impressions right now.
Oh, he's great, but that ain't... no, this is Ron in Newbridge.
All right, Ron.
I am suspect, but I will...
Yeah.
Move
well,
on.
Marky, what can I say? Blank Generation, it was the kickoff.
Yeah, he kind of made that song his own, didn't he?
Well, everybody did. I think Blank Generation really is the kickoff. We have to always honor that. Marky played drums on that. So, you know, what can I say?
I think
he's been at the top of the mountain, Tom.
Good stuff on Dust, too. But okay, hey-ho, talk to you later.
Hey-ho. Later, Marky.
There we go. Ron in Newbridge, apparently.
I got news. When he said hey-ho on the sign-off,
uh-huh.
I think that was the giveaway.
That it was him.
Yeah, don't you think?
I think I'm gonna still wait. I'm gonna listen back later.
Well, before. We met on this plane a few months ago,
uh-huh.
And I gotta tell you, that was his voice.
Really?
So yeah, I'm not kidding you.
All right, I might say that's Marky Ramone though. I'm still gonna chew on it a little bit more before I make my final verdict.
Okay.
Well, Jeff Fierzig, you came on a couple weeks ago. You talked about the movie, which was then. An upcoming release. Now it is in theaters. It is there for everybody to see.
All over the country now, because we're opening in 80 theaters by next week. So people who are streaming this can go out to their art house and see The Devil and Daniel Johnson. What can I tell you?
It will be in their city.
It's already in some cities.
Yes.
San Francisco. Let's do a shout out.
That's right.
San Francisco is a great city.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Sold out in Philadelphia the other night. That was great.
There you go. It's taking over the country.
Yeah, it seems that way. And Daniel Johnston deserves it. What can I tell you?
And you deserve it, Jeff Fierzig.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
And we look forward to that Richard Barone documentary coming soon.
I'm going to start tonight.
You're going to break out your copy of...
Mastro Barone, I'm going to call it.
There we go. Get ready, guys.
Drums Along the Hudson.
The Richard Barone story.
The Hoboken story.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
FMU, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Tom. It's Colin Ronan from Toronto.
Oh, hey, Colin. You just missed.
I just missed him. We wanted to ask him when the film was coming to Canada.
We'll see if it's in one of those 80 cities next week.
I'm going to have to try. Okay, we'll have to look into that.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, buddy. Okay. (201) 209-9368 is the number. The best show on WFMU. Doing it here. Jeff Fierzig checking in a second time. Pretty exciting. Got a couple, I think that was Marky Ramone calling. He said it was Ron from Newbridge, so I don't know what to think of that, but it sounded like Marky Ramone. We got our 1,000th MySpace event rolling through the show now. Just waiting. Who will be the 1,000th MySpace member for me? You go over to myspace.com/sharpling and check it out. And I also want to just say, for the record, the Jake and Jackie program did the Vincent Gallo merchandise stuff. We're not biting the styly. I got taken there by the people on the chat. They know that. They know that. I steal from no one. 201-209-9368. Maybe we'll get to a little bit of music, then get back. We're going to... What do I got to talk about still? I want to talk about T-shirts with tough sayings and the type of people who wear the T-shirts with tough sayings. You know the kind of sayings I'm talking about. If you can't run with the big dog, stay on the porch. And shirts like that. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Freddie from Danielson.
Hold on. Who's this?
Well, I think you were talking about a caller who called in a while ago, and you said his name was Freddie.
From Danielson?
Yeah.
From the Danielson family.
Danielson family, yes.
Yes. Now you are. Are you actually? What is your? It's Andrew.
Yeah, Freddie was a little bit off.
Okay, I was close. I remembered after that it was Andrew.
You did. Yeah. I mean, Freddie, not that far off. But, I just wanted to give you a call because you expressed, you know, missing me.
Now, how are things going in the Danielson family?
They're going very well, actually. Exciting new events have happened.
Such as.
You got
your big brother, right? Your big brother is Daniel.
That's my big brother. That's my biggest brother. I have two big brothers.
And is he the one who writes the songs?
He is the one that writes the songs. Yes.
See the pilot of the Danielson family, so to speak.
He's not as much a pilot as a captain.
He's the captain. Okay.
He steers the ship.
Okay. Now in the Danielson family, in the devil and Daniel. I'm just stuck in Devil and Daniel Johnston land.
Yeah, you're a little bit mixed up.
In the Danielson family, you are the drummer.
Second string.
Second what?
Second string drummer. My older brother David is the set drummer. He plays drum set.
So how and, many? Here's
I actually started off playing drums to rip off of him, you know, in fifth grade. You know, whatever he did was cool. And so when, you know...
So are you the youngest
instruments
member?
Were being passed out. I'm sorry, but when instruments were being passed out, I got the short end of the stick.
Are you the youngest member of the family?
Yes.
So you're like Little Andrew. Do they call
little
you Little
Andrew?
Andrew,
exactly.
And are you still earning your stripes in the family?
Practical jokes, tricks. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, in general, I guess I've earned my stripes. I mean, starting out when you're 12 is a pretty big embarrassment when everyone else is listening to alternative rock.
Uh-huh. And you're listening to what?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess I liked the Violent Femmes when I was pretty little, and I don't know, just rocking out and jumping on my bed and doing different stuff like that, just a lot of different music. But I guess the point was is that, you know, it's every little boy's dream to be a rock and roll star, but it's even worse when you can't brag about it to your friends, because then they see pictures of you in doctors and nurses' uniforms.
And you're like, I'm a rock and roller. And then they're like, prove it. And then you show them a picture of you, and it's like, no, that's your Halloween costume.
And then they say, oh, wait, you're playing a trash-picked bass drum. You know, so, yeah. And it just doesn't, it's not quite as cool.
So now what can we look for you? When do you step forward in the family? When do you tell Daniel what's what? When do you show him that you've got what it takes?
Well, I've been working with my agent on a few different things. And
with who? Your agent?
My agent and I have been putting together some contracts that are really going to put him in his place. You know, we're going to make some hefty demands. Tour bus.
Uh-huh.
You know, green M&Ms, stuff like that.
So are you working on anything, though? Do you write songs?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Drummer.
Why not?
I don't know. I've thought about different things, but...
you and me should start writing songs. How old are you?
Now I'm 22.
You're 22? I say you and me start writing songs. This is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Now, do you guys all live in the same house?
Yes, we do. It's like a sitcom.
It is?
Yeah, it's a sitcom.
In all seriousness, how many members are near you?
Near?
How many members are under the same roof right now?
Plenty of them are near. I don't know, probably six.
This is what we're going to do. Is your brother, is Daniel there?
Here right now or in the area?
Right with you right now.
No.
How hard?
I was kidding about the sitcom part.
How hard would it be to get him on the phone?
I don't know. You'd have to beg and plead. I believe
beg and
he's
plead.
Listening.
I beg nobody. I'm going to talk about your new... You got a new record called Ships out.
That's true, yes.
Now, are you on this record?
I am, actually. There's a lot of different people on the record.
Are you friends with Soup Jam Stevens?
Soup Jam, yeah. We go way back.
Did you hear when I goofed on his record?
No, I didn't. Uh-oh. Yeah,
I goofed on his record a while ago. Are you on that record? On that Soup Jam record?
I believe I was on...
Guess you don't have a good cell phone there in the family, do you?
Hi.
Bad. You can move into a different spot. Your cell phone's breaking up.
Okay. I'll try. And for pretty much its technological successes.
This is what I say we do, you and me. What do you think about this? You and me start working on some songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Start writing some songs.
Okay, now what are you going to bring to the party? What are you going to write?
You can't write songs. I'm bringing everything to the party. You're lucky
well,
I'm coming to the party.
What's your instrument of choice?
I'm a songwriter.
You're a songwriter.
For goodness sake.
So you don't necessarily have to be able to play anything?
Play anything. You put an instrument in front of me, I'll play it.
Okay, like a timpani or, you know.
No, what is this? Is not I'm not Milford Graves. This is we're doing rock. I'll go get a guitar.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out: are we going to do some like world music? You know, like you're on marimba and I'm doing you know xylophone and you know
there's that
or something. I don't know.
I just heard that accent there a little bit, buddy.
What's that? The South Jersey.
What accent? What instrument? You said marimba and what instrument?
I don't know. What oboe?
Which one begins with an X?
Xylophone?
Yeah, the xylophone.
That phone?
Yeah.
Well, I actually had a bite of cheesesteak in my mouth. So,
sounds a little bit like Philly Boy Roy there for a second.
Exactly. Well, I've tried to pick up as much of his accent as possible. Well, down in Philadelphia.
Do you know him at all down there?
Well, he's local legend. But, I mean, it's like seeing Bigfoot. You don't... You know, it just doesn't always happen.
He's not around that much?
Not really. I think he's doing, I don't know, I'm sure he's touring somewhere, you know, doing press or something.
Oh, I think we got your brother online, too. Hold on. FMU, you're on the air.
This is Daniel. I hear my little brother talking trash.
Is that true? Is this him?
That's him.
Is this him, Andrew?
No, he's an imposter. That is him. That is him.
Well, you listen to this, Daniel. You listen as you get this through your head.
Okay.
Okay.
You're no longer the boss of the Danielson family.
Okay.
There's a new member in town. Tom Danielson.
Yeah, Tom.
Tom Smith.
Are you going to start buying everybody's instruments? Because that's why I'm the leader.
Well, guess what, bro? You write the songs, right? You're like the guiding force of the band?
Supposedly.
Well, guess
what? The captain.
Guess what? We're taking this band into new directions.
Okay, what are you thinking?
I'm going to start writing songs with your little brother. Then we're taking over the band. We're kicking you out.
Good, I need a break.
Well, get ready. You want to hear? We're going to write dirty songs, though.
Dirty songs. That's
toilet talk.
I hear they sell because I need to do something different.
We're going to start doing so. Seriously, I'm going to get your little brother is going to start blowing you away all of a sudden.
I believe it.
He's going to start.
I'm still waiting for a direction, though. I mean, you know, exactly what do you have in mind?
We're going to write a song called Baby Wants to Boogie.
Baby Wants to Boogie, okay.
Yeah. And it's going to be kind of like a you know, Foghat? You ever hear the slower Foghat songs, Daniel?
I need to catch up on the Foghat, I have to be honest.
What kind of, like, boogie rock do you know from the 70s?
Boogie rock?
Yeah.
Well,
Black Oak, Arkansas, you know those guys?
I don't.
You don't? You ever hear any early ZZ Top?
I like early ZZ Top. I like Mark Bolan better, though.
You like Mark Bolan? We're not going to be like, not going to be that kind. That's boogie, not boogie.
That's boogie.
It's going to be American. We're American.
Okay.
So
what are some of the lyrics going to be?
Baby wants to boogie all night. Baby wants to boogie all right. Shake it to the left, shake it to the right. Baby wants to boogie all night.
You made that up on the spot, didn't you?
That's not bad.
That's how good I am. And
I
that's
like
what
it.
I'm going to bring to the family. You better get,
I like
I'm,
it a lot.
I'm warning yes, you. You better enjoy 2006, Daniel Smith, because 2007 is going to be, you being the leader of the Danielson family is going to be a distant memory.
Okay.
We're taking over.
I accept the offer.
Now, you have a new album out now, right?
I do. Well, it's
Oh, I do. Oh, I do. You hear that, Andrew?
Yeah, see how it works, Tom.
You hear that, Andrew? I have a new album out. Last time I thought it was called The Danielson Family. He didn't even give took family off the albums.
See, here's the controversy. Rumor has it that I fired my family. It's not true.
Uh-huh. It's not session people?
It's 34 people now, so it's...
So you're like that weirdo in that polyphonic whatever thing. Stay away from that guy.
How am I like him? Please tell
I'm
me.
No, I'm saying stay away from him. You're nothing like him.
Thank you.
Stay away from that guy. That guy's... Could the Danielson family fight all of the polyphonic spree? Would you
We're
be willing?
Tough.
Here you go. Here's something for you. You guys have that South Jersey Philly toughness, right?
Well, that's about Philly. We have the South Jersey accent and attitude, that's for sure. The cornfield, tomato field attitude.
Uh-huh. So you've got that kind of, like that Pennsylvania Dutch kind of strut, right?
Yeah, we had to wrestle bear.
Right?
On occasion.
Bring some shoe
fly. Things were tough.
Yeah, you eat that shoe fly pie, you get all kinds of, kind of arrogant.
Now, we're
gooey.
We're more Jersey Devil than shoe fly pie.
You're more Jersey Devil? Okay. So you're out there in the...
we're more Pine Barrens.
In the Pine Barrens, yeah. So...
Do you want to set up a fight between us and the polyphonic?
Yes. How many members of the Danielson family are there all together?
Oh... I don't even know.
Well, we could stretch it and bring in some heavy hitters.
Exactly. I'm saying if you reach up and you blow the horn that summons all the members.
I'd say we absolutely have it.
Well, here's my question, Tom. Is Soup Jam allowed in?
Sure. He can fight.
He's not barred from the fight?
Somebody's saying on the chat Brian Teasley's going to fight in the thing. He's in the polyphonic spree.
Okay.
Nah, you can take that guy. That guy's soft.
I'll take him. I'll take him and one other.
That guy's like soft serve vanilla ice cream. We got another call here. Let me put this on the air. FMU, you're on the air.
I just tuned in and I heard these guys talking and I thought it was me.
You thought it was you?
Yeah.
It's Philly Boy Roy.
Hello?
Oh, Philly Boy.
Hey, am Philly I boy. Dreaming?
Do you know these guys?
No.
The Daniel.
Good to hear a local.
Oh, yeah. How, where you guys live?
Oh, well, I live in the heart of Philly.
I'm in Roxborough.
I'm in West Philly.
Okay. Up around Penn Campus?
A little further out.
Oh, further out. Okay. Up
yeah, Cheesesteak Town.
Up where?
Cheesesteak Town.
Okay, but not out as far as, like, Yadin, though, are you?
Oh, no, no.
Okay, okay.
Now, where are you, Daniel?
I'm near Woodbury, which is the kind of the hub down here in South Jersey.
I don't go over there. No, no, thank you.
Exit 2 off the turnpike.
Exit 2 off the turnpike. No, Philly, not going to happen, Philly boy,
not
Roy?
Not going over there. No, thanks.
No, those cheesesteaks.
This summer.
Not that good.
Now, how do you feel about this fight, Philly boy, Roy? The Danielson family, which are how many in Legion if we get all of you together?
I'm thinking 10, 12 at least.
Okay, versus the 48 members of the Polyphonic Spree.
Oh, jeez. Well, I got to hear some of their music first. They're both rock bands, right?
Yeah. Have you ever heard Polyphonic Spree, Philly boy, Roy?
I've heard of them. Heard they're terrible.
That's kind of what I heard also.
Yeah, kind of like low rent Flaming Lips.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's just what I read, though.
You read, but you don't actually have that opinion also.
Oh, no, if I read something in four different places, then that's good enough for me.
Just if you read it in rock magazines?
Or papers or weeklies.
Have you ever heard of, you've never heard of Danielson, though?
No. Are they local?
They're from South Philly or South Jersey / Philly.
Where do you guys play? Do you ever play in the Northeast?
North Star.
We played the Khyber.
Okay, that's a little too far in town for me. I don't go over the road.
You want something in, like, Kensington?
Kensington, Fishtown, places like that, yeah.
No, okay.
Now, Daniel... Hearing, is this who you live with, Daniel?
My brother Andrew? No, we don't live together.
No, this other guy.
I don't live with those guys, no.
No, I mean this type of guy.
But I actually live with my wife and kids. But...
No, not literally. I mean, are these the kind of guys who are in your neighborhood?
No, it's mostly kind of, you know, old people and farmers. Over in South Jersey here. We get over to the city every once in a while to see a movie or a concert.
Uh-huh.
It's the only place to see stuff like that.
I run into them from time to time, though.
You run into who?
To Philly Boy Roy types.
Uh-huh.
Which is to say, you know, just great Philly-style people.
Oh, thanks. We're just keeping it real, you guys.
We are keeping it real.
Props back to you guys.
All right.
I got to hear your band.
You want to hear their band?
Oh, yeah. Can you play a cut?
Maybe I'll play a cut. Maybe I'll play a song. Hey, Daniel, how well do you know your new album?
He's never heard it.
I don't have the artwork in front of me.
What's track number 2?
Track number 2, Cast It at the Setting Sail. Thank you.
Show on WFMU here each and every Tuesday night, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name's Tom Sharpling, the host of tonight's installment. The phone number, 201-209-9368. Heard from De La Soul from their album, 3 Feet High and Rising. Jennifer taught me. Some dude saying, who's saying I get, what a giant magazine? What? I get my playlists from Giant Magazine. How dare you? Yeah, you're right. Giant Magazine. Giant Magazine told me to play that Witch record. Yeah, that was Giant Magazine. A big article on the drumming of Jay Maskus. Yeah, Giant Magazine tells me to play two Guided by Voices songs every show. That's Giant Magazine telling me to do. Giant Magazine doesn't tell me to do nothing. I do what I want. No one tells the kid what to do. The kid tells the kid what to do. The kid tells everyone what to do. Giant Magazine. What is Giant Magazine? I don't even know Giant Magazine. I bite no one styly. I bite no one styly. We heard Port of Static before that. Slow Note from a Sinking Ship, the name of the album. And it's San Andreas, the name of that hit from that record. Played that because there's a big article on, it was called 1995, the year Slow Note from a Sinking Ship dropped in the new Giant magazine. I played that. I know I played San Andreas on it. I really should have played When You Crashed, because that was the article focused on that more, that song. Should have played that more. And before then, we're getting flack on the chat. Play Death Cab for Cutie. When you playing that, shut up! Played that, then I played Fleetwood Mac. There's no difference. Think it was a party in the 80s listening to Fleetwood Mac? Being a kid listening to Fleetwood Mac and made fun of? Yeah, now it's okay, because Fleetwood Mac, it's like the other side of public. It's like the other side of gangster rap. It's okay when it's safe, and you don't have to worry about those guys getting you, because it's not alive anymore. Now it's okay. Now Fleetwood Mac. Oh yeah, listen, I can hear the good stuff in Fleetwood Mac now. Yeah, because it's over. You like it now because Fleetwood Mac are dead. Play Secondhand News by Fleetwood Mac. Ooh, that's catchy. I like that. Play some off Death Cab for Cutie. Play Crooked Teeth off this. Oh, no, what are you playing that for? 15 years from now. Oh, now I get it. How dare you? That's right. How dare you? Would a Giant magazine give them a bad review or something? It's solid stuff. I'll stand by it. How dare you tell me not to stand by it? You trust the kid's ears. Let the kid hear this stuff for you. We got Danielson started it off from their new album, Ships. We heard Cast It at the Setting Sail. It's on the Secretly Canadian label. 20 years from now, everybody would say, oh, you know what I like? I like 3-6 Mafia because now they're in their 40s and I don't have to worry about them, you know, coming to get me. And that, conversely, you don't have to worry about good pop music, because now it's safe. It's out of the concept of the time. What are we supposed to be talking about? What's the stuff I'm supposed to be playing? What? What's acceptable? Somebody tell me what's acceptable. Supposed to be playing Goldfrapp? You want to play Goldfrapp? Is that authorized? Was that in the New Giant too? Probably a big article in Goldfrapp in the New Giant. Is that more acceptable? You don't tell the kid what to do. Dock my pay if you don't like it. Dock my pay. FMU, you're on the air.
Man, you need to do what I'm doing. You sound like you're so ramped up, man.
Is this Bryce?
The one E only.
The one E only?
Yeah.
How's it going, Bryce?
It sounds like I'm doing better than you, man. You need to just chill.
Man.
It's only music.
It is only music. That's what I'm trying to say. It's only music.
The kids are working your hump?
A little bit.
Oh, man.
A little bit. Sticking it to me a little bit. Turn, you know, because it's not within the purview. It's not within the purview.
Whenever I get bummed out like you sound like you are.
Yeah.
That's what I do, and then I'm not bummed out anymore.
You're smoking some pot there?
That's for you to say. I don't want John Q. Law on my butt.
So you won't... John Q. Law.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you say that is that you just did?
Oh, I just had a sip of tea. Oh, man.
So you had a sip of tea?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm feeling pretty good. And not just because of that.
Uh-huh.
Guess what I just bought?
What did you just buy?
Guess.
I don't know. What, a new CD?
No.
A new car?
No. Give you one more guess.
I don't know.
Jerry's toilet.
What's that?
Jerry's toilet.
Jerry? Who's Jerry?
Who's Jerry? That's like saying, who's Jesus?
Oh, Jerry Garcia.
That's right.
Okay. You bought Jerry's toilet.
I did.
How?
I bought it from this guy I know. Hank.
Hank.
I met him at a Rat Dog show.
Rat Dog, which is, is that Bob Weir's band?
It's Bobby and the Boys, yeah.
Yeah. So you met some guy named Hank at a Rat Dog show.
Yeah, we kind of bummed around, and he sold me the toilet today.
Okay.
Oh, man, it's so cool. He actually hooked it up earlier tonight when I was in my room doing something.
Uh-huh. Well, what were you doing tonight?
Oh, we don't need to get into that. Oh, man, I'm actually going to go check it out again just to sort of bathe in its glory. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, man. It is so cool looking. Oh, man. But you know...
What?
The more I look at it...
Yeah?
It looks like my old toilet, but with a dancing bear sticker on it.
What do you mean?
Oh, man.
So you got ripped off?
Oh, man.
How much did you pay for it?
I should probably go, man.
So who this guy Hank hooked it up for you?
Yeah.
So how did this go? I got to hear this. You met some guy in the parking lot of a Rat Dog show.
It was more than the parking lot. We used to go to Denny's after the shows too.
So you meet some guy in the...
And in the middle when they were doing Drum Space.
You'd go over to the Denny's.
We'd actually go home sometimes during that and then come back.
And Drum Space would still be going on?
Yeah. Why?
Well, that's longer than I would have thought Drum Space might be.
Oh, man, it goes on forever.
So you'd go, and where'd you meet this guy, Hank?
I met him at Rat Dog. We did that at the Performing Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met him down at the Mann Center down in Philly.
Uh-huh.
And then we also went up to the Paradise up in Boston. We saw Phil doing this solo acoustic thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was great. I thought we were tight bros, though.
So this guy, Hank, told you what? He had...
He said, "You'll never believe this, man."
Uh-huh.
"I got Jerry's can."
Okay.
So... I don't know if you know the story behind it.
Uh-huh. No. No, I don't. I mean, give us a little idea of what the story behind Jerry's toilet is.
Well, basically, his house got sold or something, uh-huh. And then the guy that bought the house, this is out in Frisco.
Yeah.
He sold the toilet to that Golden Palace place, you know, that website.
Oh, like the gambling thing or something?
Yeah, like people will, they'll pay people to put goldenpalace.com on their face as a tattoo.
I think I saw that on that show, what was that? Oh, that celebrity boxing.
Yeah, exactly. My brother Brent, he got it tattooed on his face.
Really?
Yeah.
Your brother actually got Golden Palace tattooed on his face.
But he forgot to get the money for it because he was baked.
So he just has a tattoo on his face for free.
And they got this clause where if they don't pay you right then,
uh-huh.
They don't got to pay you nothing.
I guess not, because you have the tattoo on your
That's
face
right.
already.
It's like, what's in it? You know, yeah. So anyway, Golden Palace bought this thing, and then someone lifted it from GP.com.
Okay. Someone stole it?
I don't know. Someone wasn't looking and someone thought it was their can, I guess.
And they actually stole a toilet.
Yeah. And so I knew about this. Oh, man, you're not going to tell the John Q. Law, are you? Because I knew about it. And then when Hank told me that he had it, I said, I'll buy it.
Uh-huh. And you bought it.
I bought it, and then I went in my room and I was doing something. While he was putting it in.
While he was installing it.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever, you saw it beforehand?
Yeah, but it was dark and my vision was a little clouded.
Uh-huh. Why would your vision be a little clouded?
The weed smoke. Yeah. Why?
Well, maybe that might kind of impair your ability to,
Oh, man, he ripped me off.
How much did you pay for it?
$4,000. A little higher.
$6,000.
A little higher.
$8,000.
A little higher.
$10,000.
A lot higher.
$15,000.
A little higher.
$20,000.
A lot higher.
$30,000.
A lot higher.
$50,000.
A little higher.
$60,000.
No, man, not that high. What, do you think I'm a fool?
Yeah, you're right. How could I be so stupid? So between 50 and 60,000, is that where we ended up?
Yeah.
$55,000.
A little higher.
$57,000.
A little higher.
$58,000.
A little higher.
$59,000.
A little lower.
$58,000, $58,500.
A little higher.
$58,700.
A little higher.
$58,800.
A little bit higher.
$58,850.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You really got hosed.
Last time I got ripped off like this, I bought a bale of oregano.
I'm sure you'd... A bale of it?
Yeah, man.
How much did you pay for that?
Let's just say that money was earmarked for my McMansion.
You were going to buy a McMansion?
In Westbridge.
Wow, that's a pretty fancy neighborhood.
I know. But, oh, man, I'm madder than a rattlesnake at a Thai wedding.
I could imagine. I think I would be as mad as a rattlesnake. What does that even mean?
What?
A rattlesnake at a Thai wedding.
It's self-explanatory, you dummy.
Yeah, you're right. I'm the stupid one here. You're right. As I talk to the guy who just dropped $58,850 on a toilet.
Oh, don't rub it in, man. Let's change the subject, okay?
Okay.
You see American Idol tonight?
No, no.
You know how, like, every time they'll do, like, different music, like, different artists, or, like, Motown or Kenny Rogers or... stuff like that.
Sure. Who did they do tonight?
Oh, man. I'll give you a little hint.
Uh-huh.
Buddy or a boy make a big noise playing in the... street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got weed on your face. You big disgrace. You know who it is?
You got weed on your face?
Yeah, that's how the song goes, doesn't it?
No, I don't think so.
In my mind, it does. They did Queen songs.
They did Queen songs the whole night?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, that
not
sounds
so
amazing.
Not so good, man.
I could imagine.
The kids didn't have the pipes. And so I've been bombarding the AI message board.
Uh-huh.
With a request and a suggestion that I think could really make the show better.
Yeah, I want... Let me... Like, can I take a guess
what
this might be?
Okay.
Hmm... Let me just think of the factors we got here. We got we got Bryce.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
We got American Idol.
Yeah.
Where they do different songs by different artists on certain theme nights.
Yeah.
Now it's Bryce writing in.
Yeah.
And you probably want them to do.
Yeah.
You're right there?
Yeah, man.
You probably want them to do a night of dead songs.
That's right. It's a no-brainer. You know what I'm talking about? And I've got all the choices all figured out, too. I'm going to have Kelly do China Cat Sunflower.
Uh-huh.
Bucky's going to do Mississippi Hair Step Uptown Toodaloo.
What is that?
What's what, Bucky? He's a contestant, you dummy.
No, I understood that. You're saying, what's that song?
The song that Bucky's going to do?
Yeah.
Mississippi Half Step Up Down to Who? Why?
That sounds like the dumbest song I've ever heard.
What?
Yeah, what? What? Mississippi, not even going to talk about it anymore.
Well, what about Paris doing Wharf Rat?
Wharf Rat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I want to hear Taylor, he's the gray hair guy. I want to hear him do Tennessee Jet.
You want to do Tennessee Jet?
Jed.
I don't know any of these songs. What about hits?
Okay, well, then I'll have Chris do New Minglewood Blues.
That's a hit?
Yeah.
What about, like, Uncle John's Band or something?
Oh, no, those songs aren't so good. I'm going to have Elliot do New Minglewood Blues.
And how is that different from old Minglewood Blues?
It's longer.
Oh, wow. So you're going to pretty much have these guys sing these songs that are like jam rock songs.
Wait till you hear Ace do U.S. Blues.
So I would put on American Idol and watch people do blues all night.
Yeah, one little difference.
Yeah.
The show's 7 hours long now.
The show, well, would have to be with some of those endless Grateful Dead songs.
And I didn't even get to Catherine doing Estimated Profit.
What album are these songs on?
Oh, man, they're on. What album aren't they on? They're on Dick's Picks. Any one of those Dick's Picks, man.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Or if they don't do those songs, I got some other songs that I might suggest.
Go ahead.
One Toke Over the Line.
Okay.
Burn One Down by Ben Harper.
All right, sure, sure.
Oh, maybe Don't Step on the Grass, Son, by Steppenwolf.
Well, these sound terrible.
Why?
Because nobody wants to hear some these people who have these voices that are like cruise ship singers, where they're technically proficient, but now they're supposed to go on and sing some endless Grateful Dead jam.
Oh, I left out an important ingredient.
Yeah?
They first get baked with me before they go out and sing.
With you?
Yeah, I'm on the show too.
Who would you be on? Would you be a judge?
No, it's like me and Ryan Seacrest kind of co-host, and he kind of does the intro, the prep stuff, and then I basically do power bomb hits with each person.
Like before they go on stage?
And during.
And during?
Yeah, see, Phil's going to be there, too, and he's going to play bass solos.
Who?
And when Phil...
Oh, Phil Lesh?
Who do you think I meant? That's like saying Moses who? Oh, speaking of, do you hear about Moses?
What about Moses?
The latest addition to the Paltrow clan.
Oh, yeah, that's the name of her son, right?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I kind of really don't care about.
Wait, you don't like when people name their kids names like that? Or Apple?
Eh, not nuts about it.
Why not? I think it's the coolest.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, what's so cool about it?
I just love it. It shows a real streak of creativity and not caring.
Yes, of not caring. They don't have to live with that name.
Oh, man, wait till I have my kid.
What would you name your kid?
First name, Kreutzmann.
Okay.
Second name, Phil Lesh.
Uh-huh.
Third name?
Yeah.
Mountain Girl.
So you'd have a kid named Kreutzmann, Phil Lesh, Mountain Girl.
Garcia.
Garcia. Your Midland. Last name is Garcia?
In memory of Brent Midland.
Yeah, of course.
Pigpen.
Yeah.
Other dead keyboardist.
Yeah.
And also Keith Godshall, other dead keyboardist. So that's the whole name. And then my last name.
Okay, which I don't want to know.
Prefontaine. Why?
Your last name is Prefontaine?
Mm-hmm.
Are you related to the runner?
Uh-huh.
How?
My uncle.
Your uncle, what's his name, Steve Prefontaine?
Steve, yeah.
Wow.
I liked the one movie, but the other one was terrible.
The racing, the races movie, the foot race movies, yeah. By your uncle. That I didn't see either of them.
I'm in one of them.
You're in one of the movies.
They cut my lines, though.
Uh-huh. Who
I played this ice cream salesman.
Yeah.
But I was too baked, and they said they couldn't understand me.
They couldn't understand you. What was your line in the movie?
Okay, I'll do it for you, all right?
Okay.
Okay, so...
You want to set the scene?
Okay, so it's at the track, and he's coming in, and he's got his sweatsuit on.
Yeah.
And he's going in, and he's signing autographs, and then he stops at the ice cream cart.
Yeah.
And he looks in, and I say, "Hey, Steve, you going to win today?" And he goes, "I'm going to try." And I say, "Want some fudge ice cream?"
Uh-huh.
And then he goes, "No, I'm running." But the way I said it, it sounded weird, I guess.
How did you say it? Let's do it right now. What is my line? I'm going to try.
Yeah, first I say that my line, and you say,
okay.
Oh, it's like we're running lines right now, isn't it?
Kind of, I guess, yeah. So.
Okay, you ready?
We're setting the scene. Steve Prefontaine walks onto the track. He's signing
up. No, you blew it already. He's going into the stadium.
Okay.
Okay, it's good. You got your sweatpants on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Walking into the stadium.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
I paused like that because I forgot where I was.
Oh, you forgot? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing it like I did it, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, Steve. Line.
Yeah, I think you're gonna win today. You're gonna win today.
No, wait, no. I yelled "line" to the director, which I didn't know you're not supposed to do.
Uh huh.
And then so they got this. They called a script supervisor.
Sure.
And then she came over and she was mad too. And she said, she gave me the line, you know, you're going to win today. And then I said, can you guys excuse me for a second?
Uh-huh.
And then I went off to the side a little bit, and I took a little hit to clear my mind.
You had to clear your mind.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we go over, and I go, okay, action, which I didn't know I wasn't supposed to say either.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. It's funny now telling it, but at the time it was a bad scene.
Yeah, it sounds like it could have been a bad scene.
So now we're into, like, this is half an hour later. The scene should have been wrapped, like, 25 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
And I go, okay, let's do it again.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Steve. You going to win?
I'll try.
You want a bong hit?
I thought it was about fudge ice cream.
Well, that's what I said. I was kind of what we call improvising.
So you were going off book a little
bit.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they were mad. So they ended up scrapping the scene.
Uh-huh.
And then I got yelled at again.
Well, it makes no sense to kind of offer a guy fudge ice cream before he runs a race, right?
Well, I know, but then I was told they only gave me a part because I was related.
Uh-huh.
And that they weren't going to include it anyway. So it's just as well that I had a little fun with it.
Yeah, you might as well have some fun with it. Oh, God, how much pot does this guy smoke?
Wait, what? I wasn't smoking pot. I dozed off.
Oh, I thought you were.
Why?
It sounded like you were taking another bong hit again.
Oh, don't mind if I do.
No, I wasn't saying that as a suggestion.
Oh, I thought it was like a command.
No, I was not commanding you to take another bong hit.
Oh, man. So what do you want to rap about?
Kind of that, you know, not a whole lot.
Oh, you got other stuff you got to do?
Maybe we might move on a little bit.
Okay, what time is it? It's like 3 in the morning?
No, actually, it's 10:47.
Wait, you mean you're still doing your show?
Yeah.
Oh, it feels like we've been talking for hours.
No, we've been talking for about 20 minutes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right. Now that...
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
Guess.
Take a bong hit?
First, I'm going to do that.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm going to kick someone's ass with that bong.
Whose?
Hank.
Oh, the guy who sold you Jerry's toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who ripped you off.
Yeah.
For $58,850.
Don't be surprised if you read tomorrow in the Newbridge Times... that there was a murder by bong.
A murder? Okay.
Okay.
I'll keep an eye out for it.
And if I find out that you ratted me out, there's going to be two.
Two what?
Murders by bongs.
Smart of you to talk about this over the radio, by the way.
You're not on the air anymore, are you?
Sure we are.
It's 3 a.m., you dummy.
It's not 3 a.m.
What?
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye. So long, Bryce.
I'm going to kill you.
You're going to get me. Okay. There we go. A little threat at the last second on the way out. Oh, a little more than 10 minutes left in the program. Here on the best show on WFMU. Fun show tonight. Fun show, right? Fun show, Mike? Mike says yes. So that means it has to be. Who's going to be the 1,000th MySpace friend for me? Who's it going to be? We're going down the home stretch here. I have 999 friends on MySpace. Going to figure out who that 1,000th friend is. Go to myspace.com/Sharpling, SCHARPLING. Apply right now to see if you have what it takes to be my 1,000th friend. Let's see. See who we got sending in here. We got who is Alicia? Some dude. Let's see. Got Alicia. He's New Jersey. I don't know. Maybe Alicia. I'm not, he's got that dirty talk on his thing. I'm not going to pick Alicia. Not going to be my 1,000th friend, buddy. I'll add you. Not 1,000th, though. I should be, you should be obligated to put me in your top eight, though. That just goes without saying. We've got Rick Danger applying. Let's see what what his site's all about. He has an illustration up there as his picture. Let's see. No actual picture of himself. Don't think I can put that. Can't put somebody with an illustration up there. Got to see what you look like, son. People applying to be my MySpace 1,000th friend. Phone number, by the way, 201-209-9368. Let's see who else we got. We got Gelly. We're going to check that out. Gelly. No. A picture of a scene from the horror movie there? No. It's not going to be Gelly. Gelly also has some bad stuff to say about the top eight, too. Sorry, Gelly. I like the top eight. Got alcoholic melatonin. Let's see. Picture of the mummies on there and Bootsy Collins. A picture of Vincent Gallo and Johnny Ramone. Sorry, Gelly. Alcoholic melatonin. You have a picture of Tom Waits on your site. You can't be my 1,000th friend. Although you mentioned Mick Collins. You mentioned Mick Collins in capital letters. Katie, let's see what Katie has to say. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Katie is from Toronto. Very possible. Katie, she says, listening to WFMU in her description. She has leather uppers in her top eight. It's looking good for Katie. It's looking good for Katie. Not going to make the decision yet, though. Who will be my 1,000th MySpace friend? Who will it be? Not doing the Hazelmeyer interview. That segment has been pulled. That segment is over. It's gone. Let's see. Got somebody named Tom wants to be a MySpace friend. Tom, that's a good name. It's a good name. Sturdy stock. He's from New Jersey. His favorite bands, Minutemen, Guided by Voices, and the Feelies. He's looking good. But he only has three friends. Let's see what kind of pictures he has. We'll judge him by the pictures. One picture of himself. Need more than one picture of yourself up there, buddy. Sorry. Somebody on the chat saying, Tom loves to get hopes up and leave the way out to dry. It's his thing. I don't know how to... it's not my thing to leave people high and dry. Hannah. Let's see Hannah. Could Hannah be my 1,000th MySpace friend? Do you go to myspace.com/Sharpling, SCHARPLING. Hannah's got some cool people in her top eight. I know two of them. Let's see. Check Hannah out. But Hannah doesn't like television. Sorry, Hannah. Can't be you. Television is good. You need to realize that. My 1,000th friend has to love television. We got Jenna writing in. Let's see. She's in Santa Monica, California. She's holding a beer in a photo. She's got some good people in. Oh, sorry. Looking at your top eight. No other comedians in the top eight. Sorry. She's got Brody Stevens in her top eight and Anthony something in her top eight. Sorry. I don't know if any of these people are a 1,000th MySpace friend worthy. I don't know. Not that they're not. They're all friend worthy. But this 1,000th MySpace friend, it should be like magic. It should be like someone falling from the sky, who I look at and I go, I am you. Let's see what we got here. Somebody from Florida. Cameron in Florida. Pictures of her. Taking pictures. The green Paris Hilton light. Let's see what she likes. Oh. Ba 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 ba. She likes animals. She likes TV. She likes macaroni and cheese. But she has crazy effects on her MySpace page. Oh, sorry, Cameron. Sorry. No crazy effects on your MySpace page. My 1,000th friend can't have crazy MySpace effects on your page. Can't do it. Sorry. Let's see who we got. I need my 1,000th MySpace friend. Who's it going to be, Bill? Are you on MySpace?
I refuse to go on MySpace.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't let you do your show then tonight.
Too many ex-girlfriends on MySpace. Scary world.
It is a scary world. Let's see.
People who I haven't seen in 16 years show up there.
On MySpace?
Yeah.
I have 999 friends right now. I'm waiting for who will be my 1,000th MySpace friend. I should really pick... Right, this is something I can't rush into.
No. Save it for next week.
I should take a whole week and weigh it?
Yeah.
It's very possible. Thank you. The wisdom of Bill Zarat, who you will hear tonight from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. on The Best Show. Somebody on the chat saying, I don't have to marry this person, but in a way I will be. In a way I will be. This is a commitment in some ways deeper than any marriage, being a MySpace friend. Actually, that is completely contrary to any element of reality. Got some comments? Owen requesting, will you be my 1,000th friend? I only have 900 friends to go. Let's see. As we ride out the final moments of The Best Show. Oh, sorry. Last couple minutes, you know what we're going to do? It's MySpace thing. I can't find anybody. Nobody's stepping up. Quiet moments of The Best Show. The quiet moments. Riding out the silence. Here we go. We're going to play with 2 minutes left. We're going to play an entry into the theme song contest. A short entry. We will end the show with this entry from who is it from? Let's see. This entry is from... No. Shh. Best Show's nice and quiet. This entry is from DJ ERT. And remember that Best Show theme song contest in full effect over at friendsoftom.com to go get your information. Great entry in the theme song contest. Thank you. That's DJ ERT with a song called Petey versus Led Zeppelin versus DJ ERT. Theme song contest. For more information over friendsoftom.com. The first show in May 2nd, we will be picking the winner of the contest. Very exciting. Get more information over there. Get your entries ready. And this is WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope Worldwide, and the World Wide Web at WFMU.org. Want you all to stay tuned next. Bills are out coming up in 5, 4, 1.